WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. How has this summer's drought affected water supplies and agriculture in the valley? New data show that the well-being of Virginians is above average. And Jeff Shapiro surveys the week in politics and state government. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, September 13th. The Shenandoah Valley has been under a drought warning advisory for the second summer in a row, impacting municipal water supplies and agriculture. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
With high temperatures and a dearth of rain, stream levels in the Shenandoah Valley have been low this summer. But the most persistent indicator of drought has been our groundwater levels, which the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality has classified as in emergency condition since June. Whedon Klo, manager of the DEQ's Office of Water Supply, said even when we get precipitation, like that from Tropical Storm Debbie, most of it doesn't make it to the aquifer.
Most of that rain went into runoff, fed into the streams, was intercepted by the tree canopy. You know, what's left that makes it past all that, it takes time for it to seep down into the ground.
The DEQ uses data from streamflow and well monitoring sites around the state to make drought determinations. On Thursday afternoon, the North Fork of the Shenandoah River at Mount Jackson was reading at 2.25 feet deep, close to the low it sat through last fall. A well monitor at an old park near Lake Laura measured the aquifer at 14.5 feet below the ground, but other monitors in the valley measured the water table at 44 to 80 feet below the surface. A lack of rainfall creates a higher demand for water, while at the same time, municipal supplies are not being replenished. The town of Woodstock, which gets all of its water from the North Fork, imposed mandatory water restrictions for about a month this summer, when the river was so low it was flowing at 5% of its normal rate. Residents were told not to wash paved areas and limit watering gardens and landscaping, among other conservation strategies.
It was easy to communicate and have the community understanding about the restrictions that we were in because of how dry it was everywhere.
Aaron Grisdale is the town manager. By fiscal year 2027, the town council hopes to identify a second water source. Water supply needs are also on the minds of Harrisonburg leaders. The city pulls water from the North River and the Switzer Reservoir by way of the Dry River.
Hopefully, in the very near future of the next couple of years, we will be opening up the third water supply at the Shenandoah, always keeping in mind climate change and impacts of that.
Michael Parks is the city's director of communications. He said currently, the city has about 68 million gallons of water at its disposal per week. In the heat of July, residents were using almost 65 million, and a few weeks later, available supply dropped below that.
We did see a drop in supply in the Switzer Reservoir. With the recent rain, we feel we're back where we need to be there.
The group hit hardest by any drought is farmers.
This is probably, in my lifetime as a farmer, the driest stretch of weather that I've ever seen.
35-year-old Carl Paulson operates a dairy farm in Rockingham County.
We're a family farm. We milk 360 cows in Port Republic. We raise all of our own forages and probably about 30 to 40% of our own grains.
The Paulson farm has direct access to the Shenandoah River for irrigation, which has been a major protective factor as they grow and stockpile food for their herd. All the ag folks I spoke with agreed that the corn crop was deeply affected this year. Here's Mike Wallace with the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
June was really one of the hottest months on record for that area, and that is very detrimental for corn production. That is because corn is actually growing pretty rapidly during that month, and without water, that actually stunts the growth and can destroy your crop.
All the corn that was raised that was intended to be harvested for grain is actually going to be harvested for silage.
Jeremy Daubert is the dairy agent for the Rockingham County Extension Office. He said a lot of local farmers do have crop insurance to cover the loss on corn.
The problem with corn silage is it's a high moisture product, so you can't just, if you have dry round bales of hay, you can store them, in a barn or wherever. Well, corn silage has to be in a bag or a bunker silo. It has to be fermented to really be good feed.
Paulson knows farmers who are worried about the quality of their feed this year.
So this year, your cows are having a harder time making as much milk on a poor quality forage. That's true for a lot of farms around here.
Then there's the depleted pastures and rising prices of hay.
We had to go all the way to Pennsylvania to buy hay. And hay prices are astronomical right now. There's people selling hay $80, $90 a bale when we used to pay, $35 a round bale.
Rockingham County Fire Chief Jeremy Holloway raises a small herd of beef cattle. He normally starts feeding hay in December. This year, he started in July. Other firefighters on his crew are also farmers. Holloway advocated for the Board of Supervisors to pass an emergency declaration that supports farmers applying for emergency assistance funds through the Farm Service Agency.
They're not asking for handouts, but at some point in time, we really got to keep this food chain going.
For farmers, surviving a drought is partially a matter of business planning, but it goes deeper than that.
Gosh, we live, eat, and breathe the weather. You know, one, we're out in it every single day, many, many years in a row, so you have such an intimate relationship with the weather. We just constantly are looking at forecasts.
For much of the valley, unfortunately, the National Weather Service's Climate Prediction Center says things might not change anytime soon. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
We posted photos from around the valley and links to more information at WMRA.org and on the app. A lawsuit seeking to oust Bristol's abortion clinic from the building it has occupied for more than 2 years will be dismissed by Bristol Circuit Court Judge Sage B. Johnson. Cardinal News reports that the suit was filed by the owners, who said they are morally opposed to abortions. Kilo Delta, the company that owns the building, filed the lawsuit in December 2022, more than 6 months after the lease took effect. It accused the clinic of fraud, claiming it did not reveal that abortions would be performed on site. But the judge ruled that a claim of fraud must be filed immediately. The U.S. Census Bureau conducts annual surveys that aim to better understand our well-being. The American Community Survey is one such measure, and data released this week shows Virginia is doing better than the rest of the country. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
Top-line numbers suggest Virginia is doing better than most as part of the American Community Survey. The state's overall poverty rate was 10.2% in 2023, about 2 points lower than the national rate. Virginia's poverty rate has generally trended down since 2017. Admittedly, this data is cumbersome, and it can be like comparing apples to oranges, but Megan Davis with the left-leaning Commonwealth Institute says it shows federal and state anti-poverty initiatives work. She pointed to the expanded child tax credit under President Joe Biden's first 2 years in office, which helped Virginia's most needy. But she also thinks Virginia legislators could do more.
We can help Virginia residents through intentional state actions like establishing a state child tax credit, continue to strengthen our state earned income tax credit, and raising the state minimum wage.
Steve Hainer with the right-leaning Thomas Jefferson Institute also welcomed Virginia's static poverty rate, and he pointed to tax breaks signed by Governor Glenn Youngkin, which he thinks played a part in the steady numbers. But he also thinks efforts to boost business in the Commonwealth will be more helpful than raising the minimum wage.
The kind of news we need to have is some large economic announcements, some new industries coming to Virginia, some industries in Virginia getting large new orders that require them to start hiring again.
Legislators return to Richmond in January, though any large legislative changes may be challenging in what's expected to be a tough election year for governor and the House of Delegates. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
State officials are about to take a close look at how public education is funded in the Commonwealth, also with Virginia Public Radio Michael Pope reports.
The funding formula for how public schools currently receive state money is based on a calculation that uses census data to figure out staffing levels needed for the school-age population in an area. Now, a bipartisan group of lawmakers is considering a plan to move to a new formula that calculates money based on students. Delegate Sam Rasul of Roanoke is chairman of the House Education Committee.
Well, what we're looking for is truly equity in education and ensuring that regardless of your zip code, you should have an equal opportunity to succeed and ensure that the schools and teachers are receiving the support that they need, whether they be in Arlington or in deep Southwest Virginia.
Levi Gorin at the Commonwealth Institute says the important thing is not so much the funding formula as fixing a system that falls short of meeting the needs of students who come from low-income families, are English language learners, or are living with disabilities.
It matters a lot if we say that each student in Virginia requires $14,000 a year, as opposed to if they set that number far lower. So I think it's important that we think not only about, do we want to change the formula, but also if we do change the formula, what values do we set?
The bipartisan group of lawmakers will meet a few times this fall and then come up with recommendations for the General Assembly to consider in January. I'm Michael Pope.
Polls are shedding new light on the 2024 election in Virginia. While one high-profile Republican is getting a head start on 2025, Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, joins Michael to recap the week in politics and state government.
Campaign season is here, and we've got a bunch of new polls to tell us about where voters are right now at this point in the election. Jeff Shapiro, what are these polls telling us about the state of the race here in Virginia?
This week alone, we've seen a trio of polls, and they show Virginia reverting to form at this point in the presidential cycle, lining up and strongly behind a Democratic nominee for the presidency. Now, of course, Kamala Harris, the vice president. Depending on the survey, the vice president's lead in Virginia over former President Donald Trump ranges from roughly 8 percentage points to 10 percentage points. Remember, before the nomination was handed off by President Biden to Kamala Harris, things were looking a little unpromising, a little threatening for Democrats. The state looked to be a toss-up, a battleground. And one poll, I think, showed the president and the former president essentially tied, locked within the margin of error, 2 percentage point spread. All of this had the Trump campaign, at the urging of, among others, Governor Glenn Youngkin, to really make an effort in this state, it being somehow a battleground. And Trump was very publicly making a push in Virginia, but with Biden out and Harris in good shape here, Trump, in effect, seems to be pulling out of Virginia, concentrating his efforts on those other real battleground states.
So that's the politics of 2024. Looking ahead to the election of 2025, we've got Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears announcing her candidacy for governor next year as a Republican candidate, which seems really early to announce your campaign for governor. Jeff Shapiro, is she trying to get a leg up on her potential Republican opponent, Attorney General Jason Meares?
Oh, absolutely. Announcing 10 months before the Republican primary, Winsome Earle Sears aspires to become the first Black Republican governor since the years immediately following the Civil War. Now, by the way, this is not a welcome move. Governor Youngkin and Attorney General Meares have issued statements suggesting that this is really just a needless distraction at this important point of the presidential campaign. I don't know that Jason Meares is out of this entirely. He may be waiting to see what the outcome could be or will be in the presidential year, maybe banking on that Virginia curse, if you will, to determine his plans. You'll remember that since 1976, with only one exception, the party that wins the presidency loses the governorship the following year.
And then one last topic, the fallout from the presidential debate this week. Republicans are really focused on the comments of former Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, and they're trying to use it to portray Democrats as a bunch of baby killers. Jeff Shapiro, is that going to work?
Remember, this came up in that Trump-Harris debate this week, clearly an indication that the Republicans are playing defense on the abortion rights question. Now, Trump, in defending the reversal of Roe, cited Northam's somewhat awkward reference in 2019 to rare late-term abortions and perhaps allowing non-viable or badly deformed babies that survive birth to die. Remember, Trump initially said he corrected himself that Northam was the governor of West Virginia. Of course, what is now West Virginia used to be part of Virginia until those 39 lost counties, as they call themselves, seceded from Virginia at the outbreak of the Civil War to stick with the Union.
All right. That's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
Ciao.
Shenandoah National Park will soon have a new superintendent. J. Tracy Stakely has worked for the parks system for 26 years and will start in the role October 7th. Previously, Stakely oversaw the revitalization of historic structures at Fort Sumter and Fort Moultrie in Charleston, South Carolina, and helped produce inclusive exhibits. Researchers are learning more about how climate change affects Virginia's barrier islands. The islands help protect the eastern shore by bearing the brunt of storms coming off the Atlantic Ocean. Julie Zinnert is a biology professor at Virginia Commonwealth University. She's been conducting research on Hog Island, and she says the island's outline kind of looks like a chicken drumstick, and it's rotated over time.
Historically, in the last century, the northern island was the meaty part, and now the northern end is eroding and becoming narrower, and the southern end is growing out and becoming that meaty part.
Zinnert's research aims to strengthen climate resiliency on the eastern shore. And finally today, the Pamunkey Indian tribe will be minority owners of their own Norfolk casino. Under its new deal with national casino operator Boyd Gaming, WHRO's Ryan Murphy reports.
The tribe is bringing in Boyd Gaming, a company that operates 28 casinos around the country, to get the long-delayed project moving. And it struck a deal that will give Boyd as much as an 80% ownership stake in the company that will own and operate the casino. Here's Pamunkey Chief Robert Gray.
It's our project, but with that our project, that's, you know, what we choose to do with it. And I would assume the voters, the people of City of Norfolk understand that. We're all about just bringing the right thing to the city. And we believe Boyd is going to help us get that.
This is a marked change from what voters were pitched on before they approved the Norfolk Casino in 2020. The tribe was set to be the sole owner and even put out statements critical of what it called corporate casino operators ahead of the referendum vote. But city officials had grown critical of the lack of progress the tribe was making with its previous development partner.
Ryan Murphy reporting for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Friday.